Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 24th, 2021. The UN Human Rights Commission says the rights abuses in South Sudan has reached a crisis level.
In March and July, the governors of Warup State and Lake State ordered the summary execution of more than 56 individuals, including minors.
And relatives of passengers killed in a plane crash have sued South Sudan Airlines for compensations.
We actually gave them a notice long time ago. They did not reply to our notice. And the purpose of the notice was to seek a settlement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Hundreds of heads of states are in New York City this week at the UN headquarters for the annual General Assembly. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres convened the first global summit on the future of food, with the aim of fighting hunger, poverty, achieving gender equality, and taking action on climate change. VOA's correspondent Margaret Bashar provides highlights of the key events taking place at the United Nations headquarters.
For a world where nutritious food is available and affordable for everyone, everywhere. But today, more than 820 million people do not have enough to eat. And the climate emergency is an increasing threat to food security. Meanwhile, 2 billion men, women and children are overweight or obese. Unhealthy diets present an enormous risk of disease and death. It is unacceptable that hunger is on the rise at a time when the world wastes more than 1 billion tons of food every year. It is time to change how we produce and consume, including to reduce greenhouse emissions. Transforming food systems is crucial for delivering all the sustainable development goals. That is why I hope to convene a food system summit in 2021 as part of the decade of action to deliver the sustainable development goals. As a human family, a world free of hunger is our imperative.
That was UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. And for more on the summit and other diplomatic activity taking place at the UN, I'm joined by VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir.
So, Margaret, today the UN held its first global food summit. What was the aim of the summit, and were there any major commitments or initiatives announced at the summit?
Right. So this has been in the works for over a year. They've been planning this. And the idea is to get the conversation going on how the world is going to make its food systems not just healthier in terms of producing more healthy food for everybody, but also tied into other areas of development, like climate, in terms of producing food in a way that's better for the environment, that doesn't produce more carbon dioxide, things like that. So the numbers are really quite shocking. 3 billion people cannot afford a healthy diet. I mean, that's half the planet when you think about it, because there's a little over 7 billion people in the world. So it's a huge number of people. And nearly a third of all food that is produced is either lost or wasted. So, the UN is saying we need to shift how we look at food. It's not just a commodity. It's a human right. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure we provide people with fair, equitable access to healthy food and healthy diets, because right. It's so important to all areas of their life. For kids, at school, if they're hungry, they don't learn well. For workers, if they're not eating a good diet, they don't work well. So it really impacts everything. It's not just, food to live. It's food as fuel for our
for productivity.
Development.
Yeah. Now, it was reported that hundreds of civil society groups and activists boycotted the food summit, many complaining that the agenda had been hijacked by corporate interests. How likely is their refusal to participate in the summit going to affect its goals or agenda?
Right. So the Deputy Secretary General, Amina Mohammed, was actually asked about that today. And she said that it's been a very inclusive process, and that it's involved indigenous people, it's involved civil society, they've been extremely represented, it's involved youth. One of the slogans of this actually was no decisions about us without us. That's what one of the Food Summit slogans was that the young people were saying, no decisions right. about us without
to
us.
To show that it wasn't
so, right. So, so she said, well, they weren't, you know, well, nothing is perfect. She felt that this was an extremely inclusive process.
Right. And it's a good first step. Okay. So let's move over from the Food Summit. President Biden, during his speech this week at the UN, said that he wanted a new era of global diplomacy. Now, however, some of his allies, American allies, are saying that, you know, his actions, especially with regards to France, appear to belie this new philosophy. What are the two countries doing to mend that relationship?
Right. Well, you know, this is one of the great things about the UN General Assembly, is that it provides leaders sort of a face-to-face opportunity to see each other and speak about pressing issues. And this whole issue with the submarine deal came up just literally days before the UN General Assembly meetings. And it's a really rare falling out between the US and France, who are really tight, close allies. On Wednesday, President Biden spoke with President Macron of France, and the readout of that conversation seemed to include some humble language from the American side, saying that perhaps this process would have been would have benefited from open consultations among allies. And today, there was a meeting between Secretary of State Blinken and the French Foreign Minister Le Drian, and they also had some positive language coming out about it. And the French withdrew their ambassador from Washington the other day because they were so angry about this. But they said they would be returning him next week to the U.S. Capitol. So it seems that this opportunity has given the two countries a chance to, you know, one side to explain why they're angry and one side to explain their actions. And they've seemed to have gone a long way to repairing the rift. And I think one interesting thing that seems to come out have come out of it in both statements from the both readouts from the White House and from the Secretary of State and the foreign ministers' meetings is that the U.S. Made some commitments about reinforcing its support to counterterrorism operations in the Sahel in Africa, and that are being conducted by France and some other European nations. And this is something that the French have wanted for a long time. They want a strong commitment from the U.S. on the G5 Sahel force, and the Africans want it too. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any new commitments coming from Washington in the next weeks or couple of months.
That was VOA's correspondent Margaret Bashar speaking with International Edition's Jackson Vonganyi. Still on UN matters, the UN Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan says the country is suffering from a human rights crisis of epic proportions. The report was submitted to the UN Human Rights Council on Thursday. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
9 of the 10 states in South Sudan are engulfed in what the UN Commission calls alarming levels of conflict 10 years after independence was declared and despite multiple peace treaties signed to end the civil war that erupted in 2013. Commission Chair Yasmin Suka says violence in Warren and Lake states is of particular concern.
In March and July, the governors of Warup State and Lake State ordered the summary execution of more than 56 individuals, including minors. These extrajudicial killings orchestrated by governors from the ruling party are sufficiently similar, widespread and systematic, and may constitute crimes against humanity.
The report documents the prevalence of enforced disappearances, torture, rape, and conflict-related sexual violence, and the forced recruitment of child soldiers throughout the country. It finds widespread lawlessness and violence have intensified, resulting in many deaths and the forcible displacement of millions of people. A separate commission report dealing with economic crimes accuses South Sudanese political elites of illicitly diverting millions of dollars from public coffers into private bank accounts. Commission member Andrew Clapham says these practices are undermining human rights, endangering security, and keeping 80% of the population living in extreme poverty.
We have sought to clarify that the government of South Sudan has responsibility for violations of the right to health and the right to education. And the failure to provide adequate resources to fulfill these rights is related to the misappropriation of the revenue which ought to be deposited in the bank account of the state and then used to provide for education and health.
The South Sudanese Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, Arame Kachuoli, offered a rebuttal to the report, saying he does not agree with the Commission's view of his country. He says the security situation across South Sudan is relatively calm and peaceful. He says the government is dealing with ethnic conflict through dialogue and the use of traditional courts. He calls a peace agreement reached in 2018 a significant milestone toward achieving peace in his country. He says his government deems the report on economic crimes and corruption exaggerated and questions whether the three-member panel even has a mandate to look at this issue. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Families of passengers killed in a plane crash in Jonglei State in March this year have sued the South Sudan airline for compensation. A lawyer representing the victims' families says his clients took the decision after they failed to resolve the matter with the airlines out of court. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
This is the first hearing involving the South Supreme Airlines plane crash in the Melekea court. Advocate Monyuluak Alorkwol, who represents the families of the victims, says attempts to amicably resolve the case out of court between the families and the airline has failed.
We actually gave them a notice long time ago. They did not reply to our notice. And the purpose of the notice was to seek a settlement. If they were to sit with their relatives, then we would see whether we could reach an amicable solution. They did not. So it is their failure that made us to come here.
Neither South Supreme Airlines executives or their lawyers appeared in court today. As a result, the presiding judge postponed the hearing for another week, pending the appearance of the defendant. Should the defendant fail to appear in the next scheduled hearing, the court will listen to the case put forward by the victims' families and their lawyers. Kwal says the families deserve compensation from the airline.
Aircrafts all over the world are governed by conventions and laws. Okay. So this is not a unique accident. It happens. So there are modalities of compensating the passengers. Okay. The fact that the passengers died on board will make them be responsible for their compensation.
In March this year, South Supreme Airlines flight HK4274, bound for the capital Juba, departed from Pierre Village of Jonglei State's Wuror County and crashed minutes later. All 10 people on board died, including 8 passengers. John Kiel Mayuol lost his wife during the plane crash. He tells South Sudan in Focus that attempts by families of the deceased to meet with South Supreme Airlines representatives to settle the matter failed, forcing the families to seek a redress in court.
Supreme Airline, the company of Ayi Duang Ayi, did not come and sit with us to talk. He did not even come and pay for us condolences when the incident happened. We have not seen Ayi since then. We could only hear Ayi speaking on the media. Ayi did not appear before us for any talk.
Mayuol says the families of the plane crash victims deserve compensation from South Supreme Airline for the loss of their loved ones.
It is a global practice. Once a human being crashes in a plane, the company has to take responsibility. We are following legal measures and we have started.
Ayi Duang Ayi, a representative of the South Supreme Airline, told South Sudan in Focus today that his company is still waiting for investigations into the incident to be carried out by the Civil Aviation Authority before taking any further steps.
After that, we will all come to hear the three parties, South Supreme, relatives of those who died in the plane, an insurance company, all of us, the three parties. We'll hear when the civil aviation reads for us the investigations of the incident. After that, we'll then get to know who will compensate victims. Will it be South Supreme Insurance Company, or will it be the captain?
For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, an opposition leader from Uganda is prevented from traveling to the United States. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Uganda's opposition leader, Robert Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine, says he was prevented from traveling to the United States because of COVID-19 restrictions. Joel Senyonyi, a member of parliament from Wine's National Unity Platform Party, says Wine was traveling to the United States through Qatar to attend his party's diaspora events scheduled to be held this weekend. Senyonyi says Wine, who had recently traveled to South Africa, was stopped in Qatar because, according to U.S. COVID restrictions, anyone who travels to South Africa must quarantine for 14 days before coming to the United States.
So Honorable Kyagulanyi, Bobi Wine was on the way to the U.S. There is an event that's been organized by our diaspora team, Ugandan diaspora teams. Some activities they organized and he was going to headline them. However, midway the trip, he realized something which had not been notified to him by the authorities here or even the airlines. He was in South Africa a few days ago, again meeting our diaspora teams in South Africa who had organized different activities that he was part of. Now, apparently, the U.S. has one of its health measures, given the variant, the new variant in South Africa, they determined that somebody who has been to South Africa can only go to the U.S. after 14 days have elapsed from the time they departed from South Africa. Now, in the case of Honorable Kyagulanyi, the 14 days had not elapsed since he was in South Africa. And, you know, he was not aware of that. He had not been notified by the authorities and even the airlines. So he noticed that on his way to the U.S. He had actually reached Qatar, Doha. And so when he got the information while in Doha, he decided to discontinue the trip. And so that's how he got back into Uganda.
We understand he was coming to the United States to attend his party activities. What happens now to those activities?
The activities will go on because there's other leaders that have traveled from here. Some actually got to the U.S. a few days ago. Others should be landing in a few hours. And of course, our diaspora leaders who are the other side already. So the activities will keep happening. And we'll also be joining them virtually though.
That's Joel Senyonyi, a member of parliament from Bobi Wine's National Unity Party. He was speaking with my colleague James Batty from Kampala. Let us know what you think about issues in our show. My colleague Nabil Biagio is on standby with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We heard from several of you this week about the ongoing violence in various parts of the country, such as Tahazi John Leno from Juba who writes, 3 to 4 days now here in Gudele is starting from 10 p.m. We are experiencing gunshots around the area. We don't know what is happening exactly. We need government intervention. Zidi Etaban from Juba says, hello VOA. Thank you for the great work that you're doing for our nation, South Sudan, especially the update about the ongoing conflict within South Sudan, like what is happening in Tomboro County of Western Equatoria State. I am urging the government to bring the perpetrators to book because people are dying every day. Like what happened to me this week, I lost my brother Matthew Ziba in Tombora by unknown gunmen. May his soul rest in eternal peace. The following comment could not be independently verified. Someone who identifies himself as Augustus from Yambio says, "This is to express my frustration and disappointment with the current situation in Western Equatoria State, particularly in Tombora County. It's an ethnic cleansing happening. People are murdering themselves. It's the current authority of Western Equatoria State indirectly in support of one ethnic group over another and keeps on denying the truth. It's an abuse of power. Western Equatoria State no longer has a leader. I wish the International Community Court would intervene and take the criminals to the Hague-based court to face justice." James Ray Majok from Unity State Bentiu Town writes, "Hi VOA News, I'm appealing to South Sudan government about the ongoing insecurity that is ongoing in Tombora of Western Equatoria State. The government of South Sudan should intervene quickly to set up good security to protect innocent civilians in Tombora." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3, Bor Town says, "With the ongoing conflict in Tombora County, I urge both state and national governments to intervene to save fleeing communities, especially during this rainy season, as many of the displaced persons are sleeping under trees as a result of continued displacement." Emma in Juba writes, "Hello VOA. The vice president was talking of unknown gunmen in Juba. Juba is not South Sudan because there are a lot of IDPs now in Yei and many other places in the country. Where is the implemented peace she talks of, yet calling for an arms embargo to be lifted for them to continue killing the civilians?" Pros Dawa from Numuli says, "It's very sad, and as people of South Sudan, we need to pray so that the Almighty God will be the only one to rescue us from this problematic situation. We feel there is no leader in this country. How can the whole place be filled with guns and people in uniform in markets and on roads all over, making civilians fear the environment?" Rep Dag Lam from Matota Ror County in Jonglei State writes, "The government of South Sudan does not allow people freedom of expression and all forms of human rights. If they would allow people to demonstrate, we would say, step down president, step down vice president, and the rest of the politicians who are in the government and give a chance to others who can take us to the next election. You have now failed our country. Better to wait for the election. Thanks, VOA." Mal Adau Mal in Bor Town writes, "Hello VOA. I pity Jonglei State government for failing to construct permanent dikes along the Nile. It's a matter of days before northwest and southern parts of town become permanent fishing lakes. These politicians are stomach-driven, to be honest." Saber Isaac Khamis from Umdurman Khartoum says, "Hello South Sudan in Focus. Vice President Rebecca must speak the truth to the international bodies as she attends the 76th UN General Assembly. Which improvement of economy, road ambushes and unknown gunmen is she talking about that it has greatly improved, when still South Sudanese continue facing high prices of commodities, road ambushes and ethnic killings across the country, like what is going on in Tombora County? Instead, the Vice President is supposed to ask for international bodies' support." Angoka Iwen Lueth from Gumbo Shortcut in Juba writes, "Hello John and Nabil. I appreciate the Mayor of Juba City Council for the great work he is doing, demolishing illegally built shops along the streets and banning all the foreigners from running retail shops is a welcome move. Those are the leaders this country of ours needs. And this really shows that when a potential leader is in the right position, the country will definitely be in the right direction. We as citizens really want such leaders. Citizens deserve control of retail shops." Wani from Ye says, "I am really very unhappy to see whenever Governor Emmanuel Adil comes to Yei there is electricity in town. And when he goes back to Juba, Yei is in full darkness. Why Commissioner of Yei County is the electricity only for the governor and not for the entire community of Yei?" Joseph Bida Abe in the Palorinya refugee settlement of Longa Village in northern Uganda writes, "I'm praying for my country, South Sudan, to settle their issues because in the refugee settlement, what we are getting can't satisfy our needs as being in our country." Thomas from Juba says, "Allow me to appreciate the work of the mayor for the demolition of customs market in the road. It becomes impossible for the cars to pass through, causing too much jams on the roadside." Ohia from Torit writes, "The UN General Assembly must not accept any requests for lifting the arms embargo from South Sudanese delegates. They have enough arms to graduate the forces." Hilary Dani from Kampala says, where is the oil revenue to cater to the nation's priority needs? Shame on our leaders who are corrupt and can't plan for the future of our country. We will continue to beg for money, food and other things, yet we can't plan for our financial base. What a shame. Diandi Ball in WoW writes, hello Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. I would like to appreciate your commitment in giving information about South Sudan. I am so upset about 50 South Sudanese citizens who died on their way to Europe just to get a good life. We call for good governance in our country, which can lead to South Sudan being a good country to live in. Peter Johnson in Yale says the participation of South Sudan in the General Assembly is meaningless and a waste of resources. How do you spend millions of dollars on huge delegations while people are dying back home with hunger and flooding? Better to focus on improving your collapsing economy than wasting money on foreign trips. Shame on South Sudan leaders. Isaac Tang Dak from Bantu Town writes, with this opportunity, I want to tell South Sudanese that the worst enemy is here, which is the flooding, and it has captured most of our community areas across the nation. It became now a third catastrophe after war and COVID-19. So the question is, which one can the government focus to save lives? Yanki Logune from Juba says, many thanks to Juba City Mayor for stopping what the so-called Boda Boda Association for collecting money from innocent Boda Boda riders monthly. Fire them. Tongchu Niyok Kwai from Juba writes, to me, what happened in Sudan capital Khartoum will delay the implementation of peace agreement in South Sudan because the Khartoum leader is the head of IGAD countries. Finally, Stephen Musema Julius Ilia from Yembe says, the current government has done nothing in regards to the peace process. What they know is pay us our salary on time, forgetting all the peace process issues. Thanks for letting us know about our nation. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. We appreciate hearing from so many of you. Keep those comments coming.
Keep those comments coming, and we reserve the rights to read brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Exodus the Veteran with the song Sambala Sambala. Been listening to Exodus the Veteran with the song Sambala Sambala. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Amazing.
Stick to your responsibilities. Avoid some bad, bad, bad combination. Put you call on here, Juba, Rwanda, Burundi, Kenya. Yes, I ran this out of my watch. You call him a little bit, then go down to down. Then I didn't go more than the day. 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 Then I didn't go more than the day.